gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Horror Connection. I am your host, Tony Viejo, and with me as always is Sir Michael Blinsky. Mike, how are we doing?
I'm doing pretty well, sir. And yourself?
Doing a lot better now that I don't have my uvula hanging out the back of my tongue and all this other shit.
Yeah, you went through not COVID, but your own sort of health thing.
I have allergies, and that one nice day we had last week, I took the kids to the park and fucked me up for 2 days after that.
Don't trust those nice days.
I don't. Well, you know, the thing is, I don't have my local honey. Because I'm a big proponent, if you start the allergy season by taking local honey, the bees have already digested the pollen, and you're getting all the enzymes and the good things, and you can boot your allergies.
So it's like a vaccine.
It's almost like a vaccine. You're getting a mild form of allergies.
Huh.
Your body adjusts and adapts to it. I have no science to prove this, but I am on the internet, so hey.
Hey, that's close enough.
It could be real. I have a Facebook page and a YouTube channel, and I'm on a podcast. I am a credible source.
That's all you need.
I
that's more than what most
I have three
would
parts
say.
Of a bibliography if I really try. He just keeps citing his own self as a source.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. Every time somebody puts up a pagan Wikipedia page, it gets pulled down. I don't put them up. Like, I don't know who, like, some random fan does it. It gets pulled down, and then somebody's like, they pulled down your page, which. Again, I don't really care one way or another, but I'm cited as a source on a bunch of other pages. Like, big ones. Like, Vanilla Ice's page, I'm the top source on there because of, like, interviews and stuff we've done with him
right.
and stuff like that over the years and different shows and things like that. But I can't get my own page on, so that annoys me. Like, I don't care that I don't have a page on there. I care that they're citing me on other people's pages.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Wait, so you can't create your own band's page?
I don't think so. I don't think you're supposed to. I don't know. I don't really know how Wikipedia works.
I know I know years ago when I lived in Florida, there was a band called Adults Only.
Okay.
Shout out to Junior Berger Jr., fan of the show. And when Wikipedia was becoming a thing, he was like, I just want people that know who my band is to go up and make up our Wikipedia. And, like, I never took him up on the opportunity for that. I should have done that years ago. I know. But.
See, that would be the thing, too. Like, I wouldn't want my real stuff on Wikipedia. So I would just make up crazy
shit.
You
make up crazy shit. Yeah. Or, like, that's what you should do. You should have a pagan contest. Where the whoever writes the best Wikipedia, but they have to include these four things.
That are real?
Yeah, they're
like
real.
A couple of real
but
things.
They're not connected at all.
Have you ever... So it's a show now on Netflix, and I haven't seen the show. There's a podcast called Song Exploder where they'll talk to a band and just like deep dive into one song. So say like a song that you wrote and we'll just sit and talk about just that song, like super detailed.
No, but what's it called?
Song Exploder.
Okay.
Kelly's a big fan of it. It's a show now on YouTube where you can, or not YouTube, I'm sorry, Netflix. It's
okay.
A show on Netflix.
I said, because I only watch the Burger Show on YouTube right now.
No, it's a show on Netflix. And I haven't seen the Netflix version of it, but it's just video interviews instead of, you know, the regular audio interview. I would imagine it's still the same thing. Kelly's a big fan of it, our friend Kelly. And we were talking about it on one of our podcasts that we were doing. And he was like, if they ever had like a pagan song exploder, what song would you want to talk about? Or like, what's a cool story? And I was like, this is the thing. It sucks. None of them are cool stories. I was like, I really wish it was. I was like, there is no fucking crazy story to any song I write. Like, I just get an idea for something, write it down. I was like, not even the backstories. Because, like, the song I get asked about the most would be, obviously, Bitter. Because I have Richard Fortus from Guns N'
Right.
Roses on it. And people are like, how did that come about? And I was like, I wish there was a really cool story. But there's not. I just asked him. And he was like, cool, yeah. And I was like,
I stuck to a backstage to a Guns N' Roses show, and he was like, they were just like tuning out China's Democracy. I was like, yo, look, it'd be really cool, like, if you would do X, Y, and Z. And he was like, yeah, man, thanks. Can I do something for you? And like, yeah, man, you want to be on the Pagan Ranger? Like, I fucking love Pagan. It's like,
There was nothing like that. Like, we had some mutual friends, so I knew that they knew who I was, and I was just like, hey, you want to play on the song? And he was like, yeah.
See, that's what's weird about, like, well, you know, because you're talking about, like, you know, there's, like, no fun ways about, like, you know, you created songs or things like that. But, like, you know, I go back and I think of, like, jokes and things like that. Some of my favorite jokes that I personally do, I'm like, well, that incident almost got me fired from a job.
See, that's cool.
Yeah. Like, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like, my best material is stuff that almost fucked me, like, you know, like, really fucked me up in a weird way. like having kids, you know, almost losing a job, Forrest Gump. That movie still fucked me up, man. You know, my...
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, there is shit that comes from my personal life and, like, fucked up things that happen. But it's never, like, say something happened to us right now and I just, like, run and write a song about it. Like, it's not like
that. It's not like, you know, what's Dead Girls about? Is that about, like, your mother dying? No, my mother's still alive. No, it's not about that.
Like, I have shit that I can pull from, but the actual writing process is always just, like, it's me in this room. Just
kinda, right.
Yeah, just playing on that little keyboard until I come up with something and grabbing a guitar, and that, like, there's no cool story. Like, it's me sitting alone and I just coming up with it. So I wish I had really cool stories.
You're like your regular Peter Cetera?
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's his name. Anyway. 25 or 64. It's just about the room that was going on and him doing the drugs and not being able to write a song. So he wrote a song about not being able to write a song high on drugs.
There's a story that somebody told me, and I don't remember who the person was, and I'm not going to say the band who told me, just in case it's like their brother or cousin or whatever. But we were doing, way back in the day, we were doing shows with this band, and somebody that they somehow knew came into some money, and they were somebody who liked to party, came into some money. Somebody died, left them $5,000, whatever it was. They went out and bought a laptop, bought a bunch of recording equipment, bought a new guitar, and tons of drugs, and just, like, locked themselves in their house to, like, make some crazy psychedelic album or something like that. Like, went insane. The police had to pull them out of their house, fighting cops the whole time, destroyed the house, were, like, throwing shit at neighbors, just totally lost their minds. And they were telling me this whole story, and I was like, so what did it sound like? And they're like, what? I was like, what they recorded. Yeah, like, what did that sound like? Like, I don't know. I was like, dude, that was the first shit that I did, was try to find.
Yeah. Wait, he locked himself in a room and just tried to do drugs and make music this whole time? Yeah. Well, after we put him in the back of the car, let's go listen to this fucking tune.
Let's listen to it in the cop car on the way to
stand. Let's ask him some
questions. It's probably awesome.
It's probably great. Oh, man. Like, and I think of all the times, like, where I locked myself up and did hard drugs for a little bit, and I just did hard drugs.
Yeah.
Like, the week I smoked opium was just the week I smoked opium. I did nothing else.
It's opium week.
Well, that was during a hurricane, and coincidentally, I was actually shacked up with a drug dealer friend I had at the time.
It's a good way to be.
Yeah, and I ran out of his drugs, and all he had left was opium, and, like, we were still, like, so we just smoked opium for, like, 3 to 4 days. It was fine.
There's this drug from...
Only thing we ate other than that was Scrapple, and this was when I lived in Florida.
I mean, I feel like all that's okay. Like,
Although I did have I did withdraw for, like, 2 weeks, which I thought was weird.
From Scrapple?
No, yeah. Well, it was hard to come by in Florida. No, it was weird. At first, I thought I had, like, the flu.
Okay.
And then, like, I was telling my buddy about it, and he was like, yeah. He's like, you don't have the flu, man. He's like, you were fucking smoking opium for 3 days straight. He's like, your body got used to that. I was like, ah, it happens really quick. He's like, that's why people get addicted to opium.
That's how that happens.
And my buddy was like, dude, do you have any more of that opium? He's like, no. That was all I had. He's like, I wish I had some, too. I was like, well, can we get some? He's like, no, we're not getting. Like, I was trying to convince my drug dealer on it. I remember, like, I was at his house. Like, I had my bathrobe on with, like, a blanket. I'm like, you should be able to get some more of that shit. I'll buy it.
There's a drug from India that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. And it looks kind of like cloves.
Right.
And you eat it, and it's sort of like
Coke. I remember you telling me about this before.
Yeah, it's a little like Coke. At the time when it was introduced to me, apparently it was really starting to make a little bit of a splash here, so I guess it was, like, on the news and stuff like that. And I have a friend who's a police officer, whose name I won't mention because, you know, the context of this. His department, they had just given them, like, the rundown. Like, this is the worst thing ever. This is blah, blah, blah.
Good question. Is this the same cop friend that one of the first times I came over to hang out with you and I was holding and I was like, hey,
no,
can I smoke here? And your buddy was like, I'm a cop. And I was like, are you on duty? And he said, no. So I smoked.
No. So he came to me, he's like, hey, did you ever hear this stuff? And I was like, yeah, I've been eating that every day for, like, 2 weeks. What? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, this dude who I know from India, we were working together at the time, and we were all, like, sitting around talking about, like, tired we were and how we weren't getting anything done. He's like, here, chew this. So we were like, ah, fuck it. Okay. And we felt great. I was like, we just kept doing about our day. I was like, it's not like if you've ever done coke, which I, of course, haven't. And I never. And but if you've ever done coke, it's not like that. Like, it's not that strong. It's stronger than caffeine, but not coke strong, if that makes sense.
See, like, I couldn't do it. My heart would just explode right now.
Okay.
That's a problem I have at my age and my diet and health and everything else like that. I can't get adventurous with my drugs anymore. Oh, it's an upper? Nope. I got to stay.
See, I won't do that. I'm not adventurous now. Yeah. This was younger me. He was like, yeah, I'll eat this weird-looking shit out of a bag you just pulled out of your pocket. Of course I will. Why wouldn't I?
So many times I think about things I bought off people that are so questionable, I just put it in my mouth. I'm like, oh, this could have been just, you know, Drano.
Oh, man, there's so many. Christian and I were doing a podcast once, and they were talking about, like, hey, are you ever, you know, at shows? Like, would you do drugs with people and stuff? And we had done a show right before Christian officially joined Pagan. He had played on a bunch of Pagan songs over the years, and then finally we were just like, you should just be in the band. So we were going to make, like, the official announcement. He was playing with a side project, and it was going to be their last show, and he was coming to Pagan full-time. And we were in this kind of nice little backstage area that they had, and one of the guys comes back, and he's like, oh, there's this girl out there. She's a big fan of both of your bands, because Christian works from Psychotica, and she's like, oh, she's a big fan. And she came back, and she offered us bath salts. And this is like right after like all the crazy bath salts.
Oh, people like flesh eat, like, oh, yeah.
This is like right after that. And she's like, you guys want to do bath salts? And we're like, no. What? No.
Eat some flesh.
Yeah. No, we don't. It's funny you mention that, because no. And so we didn't do bath salts. So we were like telling that story. And he was like, well, and whoever we were talking to was like, well, that's smart that you guys won't take anything from anybody. And Christian kind of stopped for a minute. We were looking at each other, and Christian's like, dude, I've taken so many shots from people at shows who just come up and, like, feed us shots. I was like, me all the time, too. It was like, probably 10 different people a show will buy us shots, and we just drink them. Don't think anything of it. Huh. We could have been drugged so many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So many fucking times.
I firmly believe there was one night when I lived in Florida when I was out drinking, and me and my old roommate were scooped by an affluent gay dude. Because we woke up in his house naked.
I mean, he was affluent, though, right? I'm not trying to.
But I wasn't mad at him.
Was he good looking?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done him sober. But I did not sober. Who knows? Now, nothing happened. Wink, wink. But it was just a weird
thing.
Nothing
happened as long as the checks keep coming in.
And nothing happened as long as, you know, my kids are going to college.
Speaking as of right now, when they're going to college, I still go back there twice a year. Yeah.
Speaking of college, we're about to go to school here, because we decided to do a deep dive. We went back in time to the fashion of mod times and mod style, to the house of horror. That's right, we checked out some Hammer films.
It's Hammer time.
Peter Cushing.
Oh, that's great.
Just out of curiosity, now I just need the internet to find out if there was ever any link between someone covering MC Hammer's Hammer Time and linking that to Hammer films.
Oh my god, I hope there is.
That has to exist already.
Yeah, we can't have just thought of that.
No, it wasn't that simple, was it?
I mean, if there's not that, we're doing that shit. Fuck
yeah, right?
Guys.
Fuck that. Take that. Yeah. Anyway, so last week, Mike and I had a discussion after we wrapped up our first part of the Howling series, which I found at the incubator of Progenies around. Really excited about seeing the Howling 5. Because someone said teen drama and werewolves.
Oh, so that's not 5. That would be the 8th, the teen drama.
Okay.
It's the 8th.
All right.
5 is my favorite, though, so you should be excited about that.
Yeah. Well, no, whichever one's the teen drama you want, she's the
Howling Reborn.
Yeah, that's the one she wants to see. So thanks on that one. We'll get there now.
It's not the worst.
It's probably not.
I mean, the teens are well into their 40s, but other than that.
But, like we've done in the past, we've explored some of the slasher genre. We hit some horror movies in the 90s.
Yeah.
We were trying to, like, what could we do? Do we want to go, like, all the way back and do, like, Max Schreck's Nosferatu? No.
That could be interesting.
That could be fun, but I'd want to do the typo version.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I have that somewhere. Maybe. Probably not. I think I used to, and then someone else has it now. I think that's how that worked out. So we were talking about other things we could possibly do. We still have other werewolf movies to get to this year, but we settled upon a Hammer film.
Yeah.
We settled upon The Satanic Rites of Dracula, the last one starring Christopher Lee.
Yes.
But it does have a LaVey room.
Does.
I was really excited about that.
As all good homes, including Kelly's, do.
Well, I was thinking about that. Is that where Kelly got the coffee table?
Probably.
I think so.
Now that you say that, that does resemble Kelly's house.
And that little Asian girl's still in his house, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Has to be.
I imagine that Kelly's house... Did you ever read or see Less Than Zero?
I have never read it, but I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
I imagine...
Although I remember Spaderverse.
Yeah, so yeah. I imagine Kelly's house is like Spader's house in Less Than Zero.
Okay.
Where it's like super Coke-fueled 80s.
A lot of fuchsia colors and white suit jackets.
Yeah, and then just like super dark rape dungeon upstairs. Like, it goes from like Less Than Zero, like the 80s kind of thing, to Hostel.
Okay.
Like, that's what I imagine Kelly's home is like.
So he goes from being like, you know,
we'll all find out because Kelly's gonna throw a party that everybody's invited to.
Well, that's when he gets to 1,000 subscribers on the Squat Cobbler YouTube page.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. His podcast network, Bog Panda, on their YouTube page. When we hit 1,000 subscribers, he's gonna throw a big party. Apparently, Vex has been roped into this somehow. I'm not sure how that works, but there's a party that's happening. That's what I'm told.
Excellent. So. I'll find a sitter.
Yeah.
Or I'll bring the kids.
Yeah, bring the kids.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
Yeah.
The kid likes the party. Their kid's kind of whiny, but whatever.
It'll work.
So, yeah, we looked into the Hammer franchise. And, yeah. You know, there's, for those of you that are not familiar, Hammer Films was like the New Line of the 1950s to the 1970s.
Yeah.
The only thing different is where New Line made a bunch of horror movies and a bunch of low-budget films during the 80s and early 90s. And then made the Lord of the Rings franchise. Hammer never bankrolled that into anything.
Yeah.
They just continued to pump out quality horror movies for their day and time. And they did it in a very stellar way. The way this company came about was like a failed comedian and his friend from Hammersmith, England, decided that they were going to start making movies together. And they called themselves Hammer because they were from Hammersmith. Now, they didn't start off doing horror movies. They started off doing short films that the BBC would not pick up, so they would get showed in theaters. And then the BBC, then to get more theater revenue, they went to the BBC and started making more mature versions of their TV series at a 50-50 split. And then they got the idea to do Frankenstein, which was the first movie that Peter Cushing did with them. And then he was really excited to do that. But the funny thing was, when they started doing the Frankenstein movie, they got Christopher Lee to play the monster because he was a foreign-looking gentleman and he was tall. And he had worked with Boris Karloff in the past. So they were really excited about that. However, they did get a cease and desist from Universal because Universal didn't want them using any of their likenesses because they were under the impression that they could tell the story however they wanted.
Right.
But there's certain elements that Universal owns to the Frankenstein trademarks.
Right. That was like one of the problems they ran into with Monster Squad, because Monster Squad started out with Universal on board. Universal left, and then they had to alter the looks of the characters to not infringe on any of the Universal copyright.
So, which is funny, is so they had to switch up the things and switch gears, which everyone at Hammer really liked, because Hammer really didn't want to make, they didn't really want to remake Frankenstein.
Right.
They wanted to. They got excited that they had to retell Frankenstein. So, and Peter Cushing got really excited because there's a difference in remaking the Boris Karloff Frankenstein versus retelling Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Right.
Now, down the road, later into the Frankenstein saga, which I never knew, the first movie does have the monsters played by Christopher Lee. He's in it. The rest of Hammer's Frankenstein franchise is based around Dr. Frankenstein and just him being a crazy mad scientist.
Now, not to get off topic, but are you a Frankenstein's monster and that whole story fan?
Yes, I am. The modern Prometheus is actually one of my, as an atheist, it's one of my favorite stories. Because, like, here's a guy who's challenging God, and I'm going to create life, and I will create in my own image. If, you know, God can do it, why can't I? And he just goes and does it, and then he fucking abandons the goddamn thing and lets it wander around and become its own thing, and then gets pissed off and tries to kill, like, perfect, you know, I'm just leaving for a six-pack and tiny gears kind of guy, and he just does it. No, the story of Frankenstein, I like the Mary Shelley Frankenstein. It was one of the first monsters I identified with. just because it's strange and unusual. Alice Cooper sings about him. Like, Frankenstein is part of pop culture, and it's part of pop culture that I love. And every year I'm Frankenstein. Because it's a very, I have the little bolts that I just slap onto my neck. I normally don't sleep well anyway, so I look kind of beat up every morning. So I kind of look like I've just been shambling around and made from parts. But Christopher Lee plays Frankenstein in the Curse of Frankenstein film. And, you know, he wasn't too jazzed about having to change the appearance because he now looks like he was just in a motor wreck.
Yeah.
But later on down the line, Universal did give Hammer their blessing and was like, all right, you can use our likenesses. You can use our parts of the stories. You can use the stuff that we have copyrighted. You guys are doing a good job with it. Have at it. Now, here's the funny thing. Later on, one of the other Frankenstein films has flashback sequences to the Curse of Frankenstein. But this was after Universal gave him the blessing. So they changed everything. The look, the style, everything. I think that's great that they're referencing the thing that they shot like 6 years ago. But they've redone it all because, like, hey, now we can do it better. Or now we can do it the way people are more familiar with it. And I think that's a large part of what different Grinch's that makes Hammer different than Universal. Because growing up in America, I grew up seeing the Bela Lugosi stuff and things like that and recalling that before learning about the Hammer films.
Right.
So the way that you defeat Dracula in a Universal movie is different than... There's more ways to defeat Dracula in Hammer films.
There is
more ways to defeat a werewolf in Hammer films. Like, for example, Hammer films are really big on the idea that vampires can't cross running water.
Yes.
They're very big on that.
Which is a part of vampire lore.
It is.
Not something Universal
touched on.
Yeah.
They're also very big on Hawthorns.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you keeping score at home, that was the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. Which I always... what's his name? Franklin Jella? Was it Franklin Jella that played Dracula once?
Mm-hmm.
Or what? No. Who's the very tan, older actor? He played Dracula as well. It was more comedic.
Oh, I know who you mean. Yeah. Franklin Jella was a good Dracula.
Franklin Jella was a good Dracula, but it wasn't Dracula. It wasn't this one. I can't, but he played Dracula one time, and the guy holds up the Star of David to him. He's like, what do you say to this? He's like, I say, you find yourself a Jewish girl. but, like, all the religious symbols of good Dracula is against, blah, blah, blah. But I thought it was interesting that they used, like, Hawthorne in this. They're like, oh, yeah, because that was the crown of thorns that crushed. I'm like, really? Wow. And then it's like, but this fence post is good enough to just ram through Dracula's heart. They got that Hawthorne bush was there to slow him down.
The Hawthorne bush thing I always liked because that they added that to it because growing up, my grandparents' house where I spent a lot of time, they had thorn bushes. So I don't know why. They hated people? That's the only thing I can imagine. but they had actual like thorn bushes.
Were they just rose bushes that didn't bloom or no?
No, they were thorn bushes. Right. Yeah, so they had actual like thorn bushes.
Okay.
So I don't know why, but I mean, they hurt. So like that was a relatable thing to me. I was like, yeah, no, that'll fuck you up.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you fall into one of those, like you're fucked. Like it's not.
As a kid, I always thought about I think it was sand and rice. Like Dracula couldn't come into your house and a vampire couldn't come in unless they counted all the grains or sands of rice that are outside your house.
Hmm.
So like I remember as a kid numerous times after watching a vampire movie, like I would like throw rice at the front door. And like, yeah, I'm going to bed. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm just like throwing handfuls of rice at the front door. There's like squirrels somewhere like up in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania. Like, dude, we miss rice. So yeah, the Hammer films are really interesting to get into. I the way they would shoot like five films not simultaneously, but back to back to back.
Yeah.
But using all the same sets, reusing all, like they shot like Rasputin and then a Dracula movie, but then a Frankenstein movie and then, you know, a werewolf movie all on the same set. Then they would redo that set and then do like Fu Manchu, The Phantom of the Opera, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and they worked at a Bray Studios in England, and they would always like redesign and their sets every now and again, and shoot five or six movies a year, redesign the sets, do the same thing, rinse and repeat. And they went strong all the way up into about the mid-70s. But that's when, you know, the era of horror that we're really that really resonates with us, the 70s, the 80s. That's when that was upticking.
Yeah, and it kind of pushed it out. It was kind of like there's the way that I think about it in my head. The correlation that I make is the Hammer movies were like early metal and prog rock and things like that. That were just like big and dense and complicated. And then the slasher movies that came along are like punk. And the way the punk kind of pushed that out by being, you know, not shit. Antithesis of it to present something totally different for it. And a great example of that would be like Fright Night. Because
it's Peter Cushing and Vincent Price.
So and the movie itself sets up an almost passing of the torch kind of thing because you have the Peter Vincent character coming from the Hammer background, then the, you know, Evil Ed and stuff and things like that. So it's a literal passing of the torch in the
Not to mention, like, you know, a lot of the Hammer films dabble in witchcraft and Satan. They dabble in it.
Yeah.
But in the 70s, America went, like, full-on satanic panic.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, you know, we're sucking the dick of Satan. You know, here's the omen. Here's the... You know, like, Satan. You know, like...
Well, you had... So in America, a thing happened that I don't think a lot of people realize exists. And it's super fascinating to me. And I'm an atheist. And I have strong feelings about... I love is Christian horror.
Oh, I love Christian horror.
Yeah, and that was a big, which I don't think a lot of people realize, like things like The Exorcist, not Rosemary's Baby, but The Exorcist, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and a few other things that all kind of came out back to back, like time frame wise, were all written with a intentionally Christian leaning to kind of scare you into going back to church.
Yeah.
Like to use faith to scare people. You're going to burn in hell, like show it to you, like to scare you back into it. So
yeah.
A lot of cool horror came out of that, whether people realize it was intended for that purpose and or that, not, a lot of cool stuff.
And that's the thing that I think, you know, gets lost on a lot of us. Like, you know, those movies were made to like, you know, like the actual, like if you're not baptized and this isn't that and the other, you know, Satan's going to possess your child. Like you have to get your kid baptized, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Right. You know. And people don't pick up on that's in there. They talk about her not being baptized. They talk about, like, this is playing on Christian
and
ideals.
And we go back to the warlock. Again, Satan's big in horror because, you know, it's the dark lord. It's the dark entity. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just the guy asked one fucking question. I just want to point this out. Gets one question and one book and gets a bad rap for eternity. That's all I'm putting out there. Now, that being said... It's a fucked up question yesterday. the making that, like, you know, this one entity is so evil that you just have to avoid it at all costs and it will totally destroy you, you know, if you don't get baptized, if you don't follow all these certain things, you know. Like, even the omen, like, they're going to his christening and they're like, he's like, no, you can't do that to me. I'm Satan. You gotta. He throws that tantrum in the car. Gregory Peck's like, fuck it. We don't have to do this today. You know. It's a lot like my parenting. Yep, the kid's freaking out. Guess what? We ain't doing shit.
It's not happening.
Not happening. Nope. I'm leaving.
Yeah, you win.
Yep, not going to church today. Kid's freaking out. All right. You know. Which, all those movies talking about Satan and things like that. Like, again, Hammer played with some of those concepts.
Yeah, there's a little bit of it in the end.
But again, like you compared it to prog rock versus punk rock. Like,
yeah.
The Satan elements, like, you know, like, Led Zeppelin versus, you know, like Black Sabbath versus Metallica, like Metallica's Ride to Lightning.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, Sabbath's fucking heavy as shit. So is Ride to Lightning, but Ride to Lightning got to the fucking point of heavy really fucking quick. Yeah. much like The Exorcist, The Omen, like, where, like, Hammer films played around with Satan and the cults and the robes and the sacrifice and the elaborate dialogue. Like, they're showing you, like, this is a fucking demon on. This is a demon. This is a possession. This is a baby killing people. So, yeah, the pace definitely picked up. And Hammer didn't keep up with it. They still put out movies.
Right.
They were, like, putting, like, you know, Now, at the same time, after researching some of the tales that came later, I might have to go back on my own, by myself, without the Misses and the Incubator Progeny to watch some of these. Just, like, you know, Lusty Vampire Brides. I'd watch that Hammer film. That sounds like something completely in my wheelhouse.
Those are good, too, those ones. I'm not going to lie. I've seen a bunch of those. They're still solid.
What was it? The Seven Golden Vampires?
Seven Golden Vampires.
You know, which was, I didn't know that was a thing. And you're talking about off mic, like Shaw Brothers movies. I like Golden Harvest Productions. I like the Shaw Brothers. So, yeah, okay, they did something with Hammer. I want to see it. You say you've seen this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, though, until much. So I saw a bunch of the Hammer movies as a kid. Actually, really what stuck with me, like I remember watching Christopher Lee vampire movies, but really what stuck with me from Hammer was their TV show, The Hammer House of Horror.
Okay.
Like reruns of that on TV at night. It's pretty solid. A pretty good precursor to Tales from the Crypt in a way that, like, nothing against Twilight Zone and Outer Limits and all, but there was a lot of those anthology sci-fi and horror shows and stuff like that. And you can see where, I mean, I guess whenever you're going to do an anthology, it's going to have, so you're going to be able to draw similarities to any of those things.
Yeah.
But the Tales from the Crypt show that we grew up with, like the HBO show, mm-hmm. Really comes a lot from this. And not even from, so a lot of people don't realize, before the HBO show, there was two Tales from the Crypt movies before that. Two live action movies. They were both British productions. Great movies. I really like those movies.
Peter Cushing's in one of them.
Yeah.
He plays the puppet master? No. Doesn't he have the kids coming over and he gives them candy?
I can't remember what he does in it. He's in it, though.
Yeah, because he zombified it at the end of it. Yeah.
But they're both solid movies. But they are anthology movies. But you can really see where the HBO show took a lot of cues from Hammer House Horror.
Well, the first couple of Tales from the Crypt movies are really good. Just like the first Creepshow and the second Creepshow. Not so much the third Creepshow. From what I've heard, I have not given it a chance, but from what I heard, the third Creepshow is hot garbage. But yeah, those anthology horror series are really good.
I'm a big fan of anthology movies. They get a bad rap. And I think it's just because whenever you do an anthology like that, you're going to like some entries better than others.
Yeah.
So it does make for an inconsistent viewing sometimes. Sure. But overall, though, I like the format.
Yeah. Now, you're saying that, you know, Hammer had these before the Tales from the Crypt movie itself?
I don't know if they were before the movie, but they were definitely before the HBO show.
Okay.
That they were doing it. And you can see where it has. So Twilight Zone and the original versions of Twilight Zone and Outer Limits had interesting storylines, but there's nothing edgy visually.
Right.
But you see more of the sex and violence and stuff that made the Tales from the Crypt on HBO stand out was in the Hammer show before then.
Okay.
So where a lot of people look at Tales from the Crypt as like a giant jump from Twilight Zone and things like that came before and kind of missed that middle ground where Hammer was. Like, just ignore that happened. So if you just go from those sort of classic shows to Tales from the Crypt, it seems like a huge leap between them. Whereas I feel like Hammer really bridged a lot of that ground.
All right. Well, and I feel like Hammer bridged horror from, like, you know, the classic Universal monsters to the 70s slasher Satan, you know, horror that we adore and love. Now, the funny thing about this movie is that we picked, again, as I said, it's the last one as Christopher Lee as Dracula.
Which I didn't realize.
Neither did I. I did not realize that either. So, again, I was doing some research on it. Because I remember I texted him, like, yo, I can only find Dracula's Vampire Brides.
Mm.
And you're like, yeah, that's the American title. I was like, oh, okay. Now, if you're out there and you own, like, the 50 horror classic DVD thing that Walmart puts in their $5 bin every year, you own this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is a public domain movie, kind of, sort of, quasi, maybe.
So there's a lot of movies that are ish in the public domain. And the way that happened was there was a change in the way that copyrights in the U.S. were done. And a bunch of movies, even bigger movies, were not. They were given a window of a really small period of time to redo their copyrights. And a lot of stuff just didn't get in the window. So it's not really public domain, but at the same time, like, it's difficult to stop people from distributing it because in one specific territory at one specific time, there was a brief period where it wasn't copywritten technically. So it just creates...
Yeah, like, this, and on this DVD set, you know, you'll have, like, Night of Living Dead, this movie, Vincent Price, The Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
You know, bunch of other stuff like that. But, again... All, the three movies I just mentioned, solid horror
all
flicks.
Movies,
yeah, all, like, even this one.
You can't go, if you're spending like $5 on something like that, you made out. Like,
yeah.
That was a, yeah. You're doing good.
Yeah, that Vincent Price movie's fucking fantastic.
It is.
And so is this one. It opens up, there's a special agent who's witnessing a satanic ritual, and just so happens four figureheads of the British government happen to be inhabiting this coven at this bordello or grotto at this moment in time.
So you're telling me there are government figures involved in a satanic cabal with blood rituals?
Yes, I am. Now,
I can't imagine people saying something like that would be true these days.
You know what? I don't think, you know, the funny thing is, if when I didn't pick this movie out knowing all this was happening in this movie. Real quick, this movie is about the European government officials manufacturing an enhanced version of the bubonic plague so they could kill the population of the Earth so Dracula can ultimately die. That's the plot of this movie. Not a bad plot.
No.
Not a bad plot at all. Mm-mm. The plot of 2020 and moving forward. Yeah, a little creepy. But no, when we sat down, because we brainstormed this on the last Howling episode, what we're going to do.
Where are we going to go with
this? Right? I don't think either one of us remembered any of this from this movie.
Honestly, what stands out to me, like you mentioned, like $5 DVD things. Yeah. What stands out to me, so I was in... early-ish adopter of DVD, and by that I mean I had a DVD player before a PlayStation 2.
Same.
Which is how most people got it. So, for anybody who doesn't know, DVDs actually came out in the mid-90s. Most people don't know that. They think it came out around, like, 2000-ish.
No, I had a DVD player in 1997.
Yeah.
My mom was like, look, because I had a lot of movies on VHS, and she knew I was really into movies, and that was my thing. And she was like, look, I'll go like 3/4 of the way with you on a DVD player. She's like, but you would have to. And I was like, done, sold. And like, literally, like we went out, we bought a Zenith DVD player because we had a Zenith TV. And like the next day, like every time I would go, I picked up more hours at work so I could get more bus fare, so I could cop on the bus to go to the Willow Grove Mall to go to Suncoast Videos to buy more $40 DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and now the thing is, like, I was robbed 3 different times when I lived in Florida. So, like, all the DVDs I bought are gone. Like, from that first run from 1997, like, the first Phantasm release on DVD, which goes for a pretty penny. The first Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. The first Halloween on DVD. Like, those kind of movies, like, yeah. I don't have anymore. That pisses me off. Oh, man, DVD.
I was, so, like, you were early adopter before. Most people get their first DVD player, and this isn't conjecture, like this is, you could look this up, the way DVD ended up taking over was PlayStation 2.
Yep.
Because that people inadvertently ended up with a DVD player, because DVD initially was making some of the same mistakes that Laserdisc did, as you mentioned, $40 movies, yeah, things like that. So they were making a lot of the same mistakes and not learning where VHS was like, hey, if we come in cheaper, we'll beat everybody. And not learning that same way.
I remember waiting to see which way porn was going to go.
That's always a good indicator.
Well, that was back with the HD DVD and the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Because I was like, all right, where's porn going to go? Because that was like, that was the Betamax VHS thing. Yeah. And I don't think porn was like, they're like, Laserdisc porn was like, no.
And it sucks because...
But if any of you have Laserdisc porn out there, good for you.
Good for you guys. Yeah. HD DVD was a format that I really, really liked. It was very clear the Blu-ray was going to win. But... it's a shame because a lot of the stuff that Blu-ray was able to do later was just what HD DVD could do right out of the gate. Like a lot of the live watch party stuff, yeah, that they would do, and a lot of the different, like all of that was just standard stuff on HD DVD for the 5 people that had them. So it's a shame, but, and it was still, HD DVD actually did take off in like one territory and it stayed until like a couple years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't remember where. It's like one country was just like, nope, this is ours. Just kept it alive. But yeah, so as an early adopter of it, a lot of the early... I was big on like collecting like certain types of movies. So I was like, because it was so much money, you had to really focus on like what you're going to do. So I was on a big like vampire movie kick. I do love vampire movies. I like werewolves a lot better, but... I love vampire movies as well.
So as far as a fictitious creature goes, I like werewolves over vampires. Mm-hmm. But cinematically, I like vampire movies over werewolf movies.
So I agree with that completely. And I think it's just because there's so many more vampire movies that you get a better selection.
Yeah, because if I'm like, what's your favorite werewolf movie from the 80s? There's like 2 to 3 to pick from.
Yeah.
What's your favorite vampire movie from the 80s? You know what that is.
Not, but, so if you don't count Universal movies, how many werewolf franchises are there? Do you know what I mean? Count, not, don't count the Wolfman.
No.
Franchise werewolf movies. There's The Howling.
Ginger Snaps.
Ginger Snaps. Done.
No, there has to be one more. Watchers? Was that a werewolf?
No.
No? Okay.
Yeah, it was a genetic, mutated creature. Yeah. I do like that movie, though.
It's not a bad movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corey Feldman's in that, right?
Is he in that one? One of them is.
There's someone right now screaming. At, yeah. Like, there's like a werewolf tail, like, we're blatantly.
God damn it! I know there's more, but like, in that same amount of time, you could name 30 vampire franchises.
Yeah.
And so, it's just... The amount of quantity that's out there, you're just going to find more stuff because there's so much.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's so much to choose from. You're going to find better stuff. But I was on a big kick of getting vampire movies, and particularly like classic vampire movies. And I was there buying, I want to say like the Universal Dracula stuff, the Frank Langella one.
Yeah.
They had Satanic Rites of Dracula, and it was before there was like box sets with like 30 movies and stuff, but it was like cheap. So I was able to add that also to like whatever else I was getting, because that was only like $10 and everything else was like $30 or whatever. So I was able to like also get that. I was like, if I don't buy lunch today at work, like I can get this too. So that was an early DVD of mine. So that's what stands out the most to me about this movie.
Okay. This movie is also a direct sequel to the Dracula 1972 AD.
Yes.
Which is Dracula coming back. That's like, you know, that was Hammer's big, like, we got Dracula back and he's in modern time. Yeah. And there's like a more of a, like, you know, a jivey Dracula, more of a dun 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 dun, but it was more like jivey-er. It was like dun 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 dun.
And I'll fight somebody right now who doesn't think Requiem for a Vampire is a great movie. I just made that one person who knows what that is so mad. That's like, it's awful. Fuck you. It's amazing.
Is that the one where they're making the vampire movie and he's eating the people on the set?
No, it's an art house vampire movie from the 70s. It's long, it's slow, there's not a lot of dialogue. The two main characters are bank robbers who dress as clowns who have no dialogue.
Nope, never seen it.
Yeah, most people haven't.
Okay.
The ones who do, though, largely don't like it. I disagree with them. I enjoy that movie.
Well, you yourself are the unsilent minority when it comes to a lot of things. So real quick before we talk more about this movie, where do you put Christopher Lee in your scale of vampires / Draculas?
So vampires, he probably wouldn't be super high for me, only because I do absolutely love Fright Night and Lost Boys and things like that. So those would rank really high for me. Draculas, though... I mean, so many people are getting mad at me right now. The image of Bela Lugosi as Dracula is great.
But Bela Lugosi as Dracula is not.
It's not as good as you would think it is for the amount of love. And
that movie's hard to watch.
Yeah, it's not great.
I'm comparing that movie.
Right, that's the problem.
Hammer Dracula movies to Gary Oldman as Dracula.
Right.
To Frank Langella. Like, yeah. Yes, Bela Lugosi is the OG. He is, aside from Max Schreck, the other guy to play fucking Dracula.
Yeah.
You know? That's him. But, like, he's the blueprint. But that blueprint was how to build, like, a two-story, two-bedroom, one-bath house.
Yeah.
And now we have fucking mega mansions as Dracula. You know?
And that's the thing, like, when you compare the Frank Langella version, which is essentially just a remake of the Bela Lugosi one, I'm pretty sure it's Universal as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a remake. Like the Frank Langella one is better, and I know there's going to be people who get mad at that. It's not that I'm saying the Bela Lugosi movie wasn't good for what it was at its time. It's that filmmaking as a whole had progressed so much. That Frank Langella movie looks great. Like those sets are incredible, and it's all practical and like real built sets and things like that. Like that old Hollywood kind of thing.
And it's funny, Vex and I talked about this one time, and he actually pointed out to me. Like, you know, when they did Citizen Kane, they had to build all that fucking shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I forget that from time to time. And I don't, and, like, when I think about that now when I watch an older movie. I'm like, fuck, dude. There was like a staff of carpenters had to go and build this wing of the fucking castle on a back lot somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, good for those guys. That is, you know, someone had to envision that, storyboard it up, write it out, build the scale. Like, there's like, there were so many jobs back in movies back in the day. Yeah. Now it's just like, drop the green screen.
Mm-hmm.
Get that animator in there. Digitize it. Done.
And like the Gary Oldman one, it's really weird, and I understand for the people who don't like it why they don't like it. But at the same time, I love it.
So I love it. I
get it.
I love it as well. And that's what I was saying. When I think of like my favorite Dracula movie is the Gary Oldman. It's Bram Stoker's.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula is my favorite Dracula movie. And I love how stylish it is.
That's,
and
like, yeah, and it's super stylized look.
Everyone loses, aside from Gary Oldman and Anthony Hopkins, everyone else losing their fucking accent in that goddamn movie still doesn't ruin it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else doing their own
fucking... There are two actors committed in that movie.
There's two actors carry that whole
both
fucking...
Both of them, though, fucking kill it.
Both those guys carry that fucking movie to the goddamn moon.
There's tons of great Gary Oldman acting memes, but my favorite one is... just a text-based one. It says, imagine you're at a grocery store, and you're throwing stuff in your cart, and you hear somebody say, cut. And you realize you've been Gary Oldman the whole time.
Like, exactly. Yeah.
Your whole life playing.
Yes.
It. That's
yes.
How good an actor Gary Oldman is.
It is. And that's the truth. Yeah. At any moment of time, any one of us could snap out of our reality because we're Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. But no, Gary Oldman is my favorite Dracula. Now, Christopher Lee, when I think of Dracula's image, though, I don't think Bela Lugosi. I think Christopher Lee Dracula.
I forever thought Bela Lugosi, but then when I got on this DVD, like, I need to own every vampire movie kick, because I always loved vampire movies, so I'd seen many, so that was an opportunity for me to go back and grab a bunch of classic ones that I hadn't seen, that I started more educating myself. Like, I'd seen Dracula and things like that, but really, you know, the Frank Langella one, I'd never seen that before I saw the DVD and things like that, so... kind of educate myself on the vampire movies that I had missed. He started to replace Bela Lugosi in my head as what I think of as Dracula, even though Gary Oldman is my favorite Dracula.
Yeah.
Which is weird that that's not my immediate one to think of.
No. Yeah. Like, I don't think of Dracula with the hair thing and the long rolling cape. It's Christopher Lee, bloodshot fucking eyes, the fangs, like, just like that. That's how it is in my head. Or fucking taking a sword away from some dude with his bare hands and then just choking him. Like, because one, two things. One, Christopher Lee's a real life fucking badass.
Yeah.
You know, like, he will kill you. And two.
That honestly is maybe the only thing that starts to detract from the Christopher Lee stuff for me for a little bit, is just because I think I like Christopher Lee so much that that's just Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, and I don't mean that in a negative way.
Well, you look at all of his roles. You know, he's Dracula. He's Sauron. He was Count Dooku. Like, he's never played, like, your neighbor next door guy, like, waving at you. He's always played, like, one of the most sinister, backhanded people, like, you've ever met.
And he kills it every time. Like, he just does a really good job. And knowing that he's an awesome guy and has done all this other cool shit, too... It's just like, man, Christopher Lee's great.
Yeah.
Every time, like, he's on screen. No. Yeah.
You just gotta dig it.
Yeah.
So yeah, the movie's really good. It, again, it's for 73.
Something like that.
It's a good film. Again, at this moment in time, I always say, like, you know, I'll always go see another Friday the 13th. Because I want to see what adventures Jason's are up to. Jason, I pluralized them. Hear me out. Friday the 13th, part 13. There's 13 Jasons running around.
Did you see Cult of Chucky, the most recent Chucky
movie? I tapped out at Bride of Chucky.
I'm gonna. This sounds so crazy to say this, and I've said this to so many people, and this is why I'm so mad about the bootleg Child's Play remake thing that they made. Don Mancini, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, if you had shown me Bride of, and I liked Bride of Chucky, but if you'd shown me Bride of Chucky and you were like, Don Mancini's going to become one of your favorite horror directors, I'd have been like, fuck you. Like, I like this movie at all, but no, he's not. He really is, though. The later Child's Play movies are really fucking good. Really, really good. Like,
really?
Way too good for what they are.
Well, Seed and Colt, right?
Seed is terrible. It was.
Well, what was the other Child's Play movie?
It was Curse and Colt, or the last two that he did.
Wait, there was three of them after Bride of Chucky?
Oh yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's Seed, Curse, and Colt. Seed is awful. It kind of killed the franchise for a while. Then they came back with Curse and Colt, which actually, believe it or not, did really well.
Time out. Is Jennifer Tilly in those?
Yes.
Okay.
Curse and Colt did, but she's in them, but the tone changes completely.
I love the movie Bound.
So do I. I love Jennifer Tilly.
Who doesn't love Jennifer Tilly? Yeah. I can watch her play poker for hours.
Yeah. I'm all about Jennifer Tilly.
So who's not?
Yeah, I'm on board.
We should probably get her and Daniel Harris in the podcast.
Yeah, at the same time.
No.
No?
No. No.
It's because you have to choose.
Well, we'd have to.
Who you were trying to talk to.
Yeah, I couldn't focus that.
No.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to focus on paying attention to interviewing one of them and not the other.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a big, like, fanboy of both. There's just no way.
Yeah, no.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he made those two movies, and they actually did really well. So they kind of restarted the franchise, and now there's going to be a Child's Play TV show. With the
original I cast saw that, and Devin Sawal's going to be in it.
And the original cast of the movies. Because they're all in them still. Like, it's the same, even Andy.
Yeah, no, yeah, like, I know. Yeah.
Like, even Andy from the original is in them.
Which, that's the one thing that I really appreciated that they did.
Yeah. But while he was doing those, he also did the TV show Hannibal, which I really liked, the Silence of the Lambs show. And he did, what the fuck is it called? Channel Zero, which is awesome.
Okay, I'm not familiar with Channel Zero.
Really good horror show. It's on Shudder now. I think it was on Sci-Fi originally.
Okay.
There's four seasons of it. It's great. It's an anthology style, where each season's one story, but
like American Horror Story.
Yeah, but not like.
you were just about to say not like American Horror Story.
Sort of like that, but just better. Like, just really, really solid writing. And this is all the guy who made Child's Play.
Okay.
And they're all great. So. I wish they weren't, in a way, because it seems so weird to say that. And, like, I was genuinely mad for him when that Child's Play movie, The Mark Hamill, came out. Mm. Like, I got his Twitter rants and stuff like that. Like, he's totally right. So that movie, if anybody doesn't know, is not a real Child's Play movie. There was a company that was involved in the distribution of one of the movies who had certain rights to the name. So they were able to make a movie called Child's Play. But if you watch the movie, like, the reason it's a completely different story and completely different characters is that's all they could do was call it Child's Play. So it's a completely different story. It's a story about a robot that goes crazy. and not even that goes crazy. It's kind of, like, pushed to that by these kids who are kind of like dicks. But it's a totally different story, and that's why. It wasn't because they were like...
Wait. They made a horror movie about a robot... That gets pushed too far, that gets bullied and takes revenge.
No. Okay. Not that gets bullied and takes revenge. It's controlled by these kids. It's like a smart home kind of thing.
Okay.
Robot, but for kids. And the kids kind of like teach it to be an asshole and eventually it turns into like a killer.
Okay.
But the reason it's a totally different plot is because they didn't actually own any of the rights. They owned enough to be able to call something.
So, like, there's no, like, serial killer that's into the occult that goes into...
Okay. None of that. Yeah, it's a robot. Hmm. It has nothing to do with the plot. And that's why people were like, well, at least they did something totally different. It's like, no, this isn't a real Child's Play movie. This is a ripoff thing that they're doing through a legal loophole.
Interesting.
And he was furious about it. And people couldn't understand. They were like, well, what if it does well? And he's like, that's just as bad. Because it dilutes... Like, I just got the franchise back on track. Like, Curse did really well, and Colt did even better. And he's like, now we have a TV deal. Like, this could derail the TV show.
Now, here's my question for this guy. Is he familiar with the Halloween franchise and how these things fucking work? Because he's like, bro, it's derailing my franchise. Really? It's derailing it? Come on, man.
Well, I'm glad the show is still happening. But, yeah, Curse and Colt are... way too good for this.
Really?
Yeah. For this deep into the franchise that I gave up on after.
Because I remember watching Bride of Chucky and being done with it, being like, all right, that was it. No more.
And there's stuff in Bride that I really like. Like, Bride is entertaining. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's an entertaining movie. Seed is bad.
I like the winks and nods to everything in Bride of Chucky, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Like the shout outs to Jason, Michael Myers, Freddy, Pinhead, like John Ritter's face covered in fucking nails. I never knew anyone to see that, and I saw that, and that was amazing. R.I.P. Yeah. John Ritter.
Seed is terrible, though. It's a really bad movie, and it kind of derailed the franchise for a while.
Okay.
And everybody really gave up on it, and they were doing... The only reason he got to bring it back was they were... And he talked about this. They were doing a box set, and they wanted him to, like, do stuff for the box set, and he was like, only if you let me make another movie. He's like, I'll do it super low budget, like, really gritty, but that's the only way I'm going to be involved in this box set. So they let him make Curse, and it did well.
I remember when those movies came out that they performed well amongst the fans. So, like, I wasn't mad at it.
Curse and Cult are, like, he went a different direction because I think he realized that it was getting too much into comedy and not horror, and it just kind of lost its way.
It's a horror movie series about a talking doll.
I know.
That kills people. That's comedy.
But there's still jokes and stuff in Curse and Cult, but they're darker, tighter, like grittier movies.
They're not road tripping.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not
in a Winnebago driving along.
No. But they're good movies. Like they're just good fun slasher movies. Yeah, okay. I hate saying it because it sounds stupid.
It does.
Yeah,
and I like, know I'm like having a hard time looking at you right now. I'm like, eh.
I know it sounds stupid, but the movies are good.
Back to occult and reoccurring characters. Mm-hmm. Peter Cushing also reprises his role in this movie as Van Helsing.
He's also done a lot of just amazing horror work.
Oh yeah. Again, when you look at the people who are in Hammer films, and then like. Even the people that are B players, if you're familiar with British television or British movies, you're like, oh my god, that's so and so. That guy was this guy in this. I was having a field day watching this.
And Peter Cushing was in the movie, that British show that everybody in the world but me has ever seen. What is that famous cult British show?
The famous cult British show?
Yeah, the sci-fi show for kids.
Doctor Who?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen it either. Oh, that's a lie. When Tom Baker was the doctor, my mom's second husband would get bootleg Doctor Who tapes, and I would watch them with him. And yeah, so like, Doctor Who looks like Tommy with a scarf and a hat. I mean, like the Who's inception of like Tommy from Roger, like looks like Roger Daltrey in a hat. But that era.
Roger Daltrey was in a vampire movie.
He was. He played the Greek king or the Persian king. He played some king.
Something like that.
Yeah. And Vlad had to marry his daughter to get his army so he could go to war.
Yeah.
That was actually a really good Dracula series.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
What streaming service is that on? Let me know. Now, moving forward this movie real quickly. Fun flick. Satanic Cult. They have all the figureheads, the four figureheads of in Britain all lined up to start distributing this plague and help manufacturing this disease and everything else like that.
The Iced Earth starts playing.
Yeah, Iced Earth starts playing, which would fit in perfectly with this, actually. The best part about this is one, they have to go, since so many people are in on this, they have to go to like Scotland Yard, and Scotland Yard has like one detective that will work on this, and that detective happens to have a friend who is an occult researcher as well. One, this is becoming more and more of a thing than some of these movies we're watching. I'm getting excited.
You're like, this is a real profession.
You know. Side note, Incubator Progeny says we should make Cult U sweatshirts.
Cult U?
Cult U. Like college sweatshirts type thing. This is Cult U. And she was like, you know, put like, you know, a grimoire in the middle with like, you know, different zodiac symbols around it.
Oh, man, we should start a Cult U fraternity.
Yeah. That could be weird.
Yeah.
Because like, what would those things have to be?
I don't know yet.
Like, you'd have to channel a dead relative on a zodiac to pledge. not on a zodiac, on a Ouija board.
To pledge.
Yeah.
Our pledge night's going to be crazy.
Our pledge night's going to be fucking weird shit.
Yeah.
But, like, I use the Ouija board to babysit the kids, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let their ancestors do it. That's what they're there for, right? I know you've talked to your granddad. I know you've seen your great-granddad, but have you ever met your great-great-great-great-great-granddad? He was a Jew during the Spanish Inquisition. Here he is. All right, I'm gonna go smash this sixer. You hang out your great 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 granddad and learn about
this little chick walking around the parking lot. She might be filled with some tiny gears.
I don't know. So, but Peter Cushing's back on the case as Van Helsing, and he is convinced at this time he has foiled Dracula in the past.
Right.
And in his opinion, Dracula is gone. It's not Dracula. There's no way it's Dracula. It can't be Dracula. Peter Cushing's granddaughter, I'm sorry, Van Helsing's granddaughter ends up going to Dracula's castle and getting kidnapped. I mean, sorry, the little hideout, the satanic hideout, getting kidnapped. We meet this whole coven of vampire brides, which Dracula has good taste in women. And he digs redheads.
Who doesn't?
So the funny thing is, like, Van Helsing's going to meet with the people behind this plague, like the pharmacy people. Mm. And it just so happens to be that the building is built on Dracula's old residence where he beat him last year, where he bested him. And he goes in, and now he exposes to Dracula, like, his whole plan, like Dracula's plan. He's like, I figured it out. I figured you out. Meanwhile, I want to point out, Dracula's sitting at a desk with two, like, spotlights in front of him on. Like, so you can't see him. And, like, he's, like, reveals, like, you know, oh, they're doing this kind of work. And Van Helsing is so very nonchalant, like, so let me get this straight. You're trying to die. Like, you want to die because you're going to kill off all of humanity and destroy the world. Because you want to die. So you're taking everyone down with you. That's what's going on?
That's the way to go.
I mean, if you are Dracula and you are immortal and fucking cults keep bringing you back, because that's the other thing in the Hammer films. Like, someone always brings Dracula back. Someone always, like, you know, finds his ring or finds his skull or pours blood on the right spot of the floor.
Like Castlevania.
Yeah, it is. It's, yeah. Castle. Just Dracula. Hey, you think that's a thing? That maybe Castlevania is directly inspired by Hammer films?
I would think so.
Yeah, it has to be.
I would say definitely. I would say more so than the Universal stuff, Castlevania is inspired by the Hammer stuff.
Well, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. Since it's got a little more edge to it.
Yeah. And whips.
Whips.
Yeah, whips. Whips. So, yeah.
Now I want to play Castlevania.
Great video games that you're
using.
Yes. Yeah. There's a thing we could do.
Castlevania.
Well, I was just saying, once we're all vaccinated up and everything, we could go to the Drunken and Gaming place and play Castlevania and talk about Castlevania.
Okay.
I think that would be a thing.
Yeah.
They'd probably dig that. And they're on B right now. Like, they're playing all the Sega games through B, so we still got time.
Ah, nice.
That's their main, thing they're doing on their thing right now that they do is they play through, they're doing the alphabet of Sega games.
Okay.
And they've just finished A after, like, a year and a half.
Sega's got a good library.
No, that's and they're in B right now, so good for those guys. Van Helsing and Dracula get into it. And then, again, like we talked about earlier, this is where he gets, like, you know, Dracula, you know, he's like, oh, the crucifix. Oh, and then, oh, the Hawthorns. Oh, and a stake through the heart and all this, that, and these and those. Like, so many other ways to best a vampire. And Hammer relies on that, and they use that. And I appreciate that. But, again, a lot of that goes back to them having to reuse sets.
Right.
Like, you know, some, like, when they did the Rasputin movie, when Rasputin gets thrown into the lake, you know, that's the same set that, you know, where Dracula's last seen, like, floating on a piece of ice and, you know, not being able to do anything. So this Van Helsing bests Dracula after Dracula's plan gets foiled, and he can't hypnotize the people into doing his bidding anymore, because the whole time he has the whole, like, Dracula, like, look into my eyes and you will do my bidding. Like, you know, he's using the Force, which he would go on to do later on when he was Yoda's Padawan. So I think I'm right on that. I think Count Dooku was originally Yoda's Padawan. And then he didn't like Yoda because Yoda was corrupt by the Jedi for just being too absolute in his thinking that Yoda was always right. He was like, well, you're just corrupt because everyone agrees that you're surrounded by yes men. I can't be around you.
That sounds right. Yeah. We're going to go with that. Some Star Wars fan is so mad right now.
I'm pretty sure it's the Incubator Project. It's probably I'm going to rage out on me when I get home.
So let's talk about the Ewoks movies.
Yeah. Which, by the way, they're coming to Disney Plus.
That'll be interesting.
Yes.
I haven't seen those in a long time.
Neither have I. And apparently the new Clone Wars is as well.
I want them
Not the old new Clone Wars, but the original Clone Wars, the good Clone Wars. I don't know.
I want them to, like, remaster the holiday special, the original one.
They're releasing parts of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a thing. They're releasing parts of the holiday special, actually. Things that are centric around Boba Fett.
Okay. Yeah, I would like them to do the whole thing where you get like that 10-minute segment of Chewie's family speaking in their language with no subtitles. That. I want them to remaster that. And they can go the full Vegas route and add like weird CGI and shit into it. But no subtitles. No subtitles.
Still no context.
Yeah. Just ten minutes of people groaning at each other.
Yeah, so Disney Plus announced that yesterday, which
immediately I watched WandaVision, speaking of Disney Plus.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, we're pretty much wrapped on the satanic panic of Dracula right now anyway. So what did you think of WandaVision?
I loved it. Spoiler until alert. The end.
You loved it until the end?
Yeah.
Okay, what didn't you like about the ending?
Turned into every Marvel thing.
Well, that's what Marvel does.
I know.
Yeah.
It was so different, though, and like it felt so different up until that point from the MCU thing that I think that's part of what I liked about it. Like, oh, they're doing something that's completely different here.
Now, did you watch it all in one shot, or did you watch it
over a couple of days? I think it was like 3 days.
Because, like, I watched that week to week.
Okay.
So having a week to digest the episode and not being the biggest Marvel guy on the planet, it was hard for me to get past episode 4. Because, like, really, there's stuff going on, but there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck's going on, man? Like, okay, we're in, you know. Meanwhile, Incubator Project's like, oh, that's Dick Van Dyke. Oh, they're on this show. They're doing this show now? Oh, what are they going to do now? I was really upset that they didn't do, like, with the 90s, like, have her in the Full House.
That would have been funny.
You know, like, this looks oddly familiar, but I have no recollection of ever being here. I dug it. I thought it was good. Oddly enough, my favorite part of that whole thing, one, the chick who played the witch, Agatha, she's a dime. Like, wow. Good for her. Like, no matter what she does, she's just like, I don't know what it is, but yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
When Vision had to reason, when WandaVision Vision had to reason with corporate Vision.
Corporate Vision.
White Vision.
Yeah, it's true. White corporate Vision.
And had to teach White Vision about colonialism in a sense.
Yeah.
That's it. He's just like, they're hiding the data from you. And you're like, oh, shit. No, yeah, white people suck. Oh. History. And then he just flies off. Like, he's like, yeah, thanks for all this information. I'm just going to fuck off. You know. Like, I'm still wondering when he's gonna pop up again.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I dug it. I got really excited. I thought they were gonna use this to open the doorway to the X-Men. I thought they were gonna do something where she was just pulling people from other universes in, and that was causing everything to fold in upon itself, and we were gonna wind up with the X-Men and the Avengers and the Fantastic Four and everyone by the end of this.
Okay.
But ambitious for me to think Disney would just give that away on the streaming service. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. So are you going to watch Winter Soldier and Falcon?
I don't know. I wasn't as big into, like, the Captain America side of stuff, but I'll probably give it a shot. Like I said, I really like this. The only thing I didn't like was it goes full Marvel at the end.
Yeah.
CG, and by that I mean there's a big CGI fight followed by a sky beam. Just, if you think about it, the end of all of the movies in the MCU.
Yeah.
So, and you get it. You get it, just like you do in all the other ones. And it was, instead of like a build up to that, it was almost like a letdown, because I felt like up until then, like, wow, they're really doing something different this time.
Well, now, you know what the next Doctor Strange movie is going to be?
No.
Okay, Doctor Strange is next movie is called The Mysteries of the Multiverse.
Okay.
I like, there are two things I took away, knowing that, the two things I took away from when Agatha is explaining to Scarlet Witch that she's more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme and she doesn't even know it. And to the very end, where she, again, spoilers, she's sitting there and she's on her porch drinking her tea, but she's ethereally, you know, reading books and going through the multiverse and trying to find her kids. That I think that's gonna play. I think this leads into the new Doctor Strange movie. I think this is the gateway. Okay. I think this is gonna play into that. Which, reading about the new Doctor Strange movie, they said that's gonna be the horror movie of the MCU.
I have seen that. People saying that.
So like, it was that. Now my thing is this: the one thing I want to see the MCU do, and it's might be too much too late. Are you familiar with Marvel Zombies at all?
Yes.
I want to see that. I want to see Iron Man as a zombie. I want to see that so bad. It's probably not going to happen, though.
Yeah.
Unless it happens in the What If series.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's going to be animated, though, I think.
I believe so, yeah. That's fine, though. I would take that.
This has been the Horror Connections recap of Disney Plus.
As you've expected us to do.
Yes. But I think that about wraps up this week.
Yeah, it does.
You know, we're going to come up with next episode where we're going to go off into the mighty wild. I wouldn't mind doing more Hammer films down the line.
Yeah, definitely.
I definitely want to check out the Peter Cushing Frankenstein saga.
Yeah.
Because I think I never realized that was the misadventures of Dr. Frankenstein. I never realized that. I just thought it was like each one was like another throwaway like monster movie. No, the exact opposite. So like I'm intrigued by that now. So.
We should do the Sony Monster Trilogy at some point too.
We should.
Mary Shelley's.
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should do Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Bram Stoker's Dracula. I think we should do a Wolf Watch Along.
Oh, that would be a good one for the Watch Along. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna go better than H2O.
That wasn't the Watch Along.
That's right. Jesus Christ. The crazy thing is, I hated it so much, I just changed the movie.
I just think it's up. So we were so obnoxious at the thought that, like, yeah, we could just watch Holly Resurrection and hate on this movie while we watch it. We're like, fuck, we didn't realize we'd actually have to watch the fucking movie again.
Yeah.
It was so forgot how bad fun. It was. Yeah.
I didn't like it.
But you know what's a fun movie?
What's that?
The Satanic Rites of Dracula.
Goddamn right it is.
You folks should check that out and start watching more Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing movies. Give their estate some money. Have a good night. I bid you good evening.